The following podcast contains adult language and subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, you're listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box with Juan and Gabe, two guys who live in Greeley, Colorado and just happen to really love comic books. Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of Thinking Outside of the Long Box. I'm Gabe.
And I'm Juan.
And we want to just get started off with a little bit about ourselves so that, you know, if you're wanting to date us or if you're just interested in a nice long walk down the beach that we don't have in Colorado. Anyway, I'm Gabe. I work at the Nerd Store in Greeley, Colorado. I'm the manager of comic books. I love comic books and I read comic books and I grew up on comic books. My kids read comic books, and basically it's about comic books for me. I like other stuff. I mostly read horror things and creepy, eerie, all that sort of stuff.
I'm Juan. Mine's going to be short and sweet. I don't work in a comic book shop. I'm actually a car salesman. But I love pop culture, love movies, love comic books. The type of person who, once you get out of the theater, I want to know what I missed, Easter eggs. And we're here just to go over some of those things.
Have a blast. Yeah. So each episode, we're going to basically have four segments. We're going to break down some miscellaneous news stuff. We're going to talk about something that each of us is excited about that's currently, you know, on shelves or in the movie theaters or on Netflix or whatever. And then we're also going to talk about something that's coming soon, whether that be a comic book or the newest, you know, Marvel movie or just whatever strikes our fancy. And then finally, we'll wrap every episode up with a little breakdown of something old that we love. So I guess with that, let's go ahead and jump into some miscellaneous news.
Definitely.
What you got for us, Juan?
Well, on Tuesday, Ben Kingsley, who plays Trevor Slattery from in the Iron Man, the newest Iron Man one, in the movie, it's revealed that he's not really the Mandarin.
Right.
Which is kind of lame, and everybody else thought it was really lame. A lot of people did. He just did an interview saying that he might actually be the Mandarin.
So it's like a double bluff.
Exactly.
I don't know which is lamer, finding out that the Mandarin's not the Mandarin or finding out that the Mandarin's not the Mandarin is the Mandarin.
Well, they did a one-off called All Hail the King, and in that, he pretends in jail that he's the Mandarin, but somebody who works with the Mandarin actually comes in and is mad at him, and they break him out of prison so that he could meet the real Mandarin. So it's just a weird little ploy.
That's a confusing little tidbit. That's awesome, though. I love when they go back on things like that.
The rules are meant to be broken, bro.
Exactly. That's why it's fiction. So speaking of other famous people, I was reading this week that on Arrow, one of the main baddies that hasn't been introduced on the show yet is Ra's al Ghul.
Yes.
And I read that Liam Neeson is actually interested in playing Ra's al Ghul just like he did in Batman Begins. And that would be epic.
It would be really cool.
It would be so cool to not only pull in such a huge name into the Arrow TV show, but just to tie that universe together would be amazing, because DC keeps hinting that they're not going to tie together like their TV shows and their movie universe and stuff like that. But I mean, it only makes sense, especially in the face of, you know, all the Netflix shows that Marvel's about to put out. So
it's going to be confusing. Two separate universes that touch on the same exact superheroes is weird.
Yeah, but that's something that DC loves to do.
Right.
For example, the Black President Superman in Multiversity and many other incarnations, and the whole Forever Evil series, that was...
Forever Evil was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. But it's that whole, like, oh, let's have a giant multiverse and make it as confusing as humanly possible.
But they try and weave everything together. It would be weird to have two different universes that are two different Green Arrows, because I assume, and we're hoping, you know, that they're going to be in the movie as well as the TV show.
If Arrow...
That have nothing to do with each other.
If Green Arrow isn't in the upcoming Justice League movie, I'll be pretty disappointed. Because, like, at least at least Marvel bothered to put Hawkeye in the Avengers movies.
And mean, supposedly he's going to have a bigger role in the next one.
He better. He's the coolest.
They just showed him with his new outfit just recently.
How about the whole DC backing down off of the release date of Batman, Superman?
It was smart. I mean, I don't know if I'd call it backing down, but it just makes no sense. You lose money if you put two huge movies on the same day.
I know that they would lose money, but I love that it was played up in the media as a game of chicken.
Right.
Who's gonna back down? Of course it's DC. Like, have you seen the website? How many days since DC's done something stupid?
No.
Those signs, we've had, you know, zero accidents in the last 215 days or whatever.
Right.
So it's this website that counts down. It's been, you know, 10 days since DC did something retarded. What is
We're
it?
We're up
today?
To 52 days at this point.
Don't worry. They'll put out a new version of that has 52 number one issues.
The longest period of non-stupidity the company has managed is 61 days.
So they're perilously close.
That's awesome.
I wonder if that counts the no joking on the set of Batman Superman.
No fun can be had on this
no
set.
No fun can be had. Only frowns.
I don't know if it doesn't really show what the stupid thing that they did. Maybe it does.
Yeah, I think if you click on it, it'll show you what the last stupid thing was. Speaking of Big Two, what about, did you read that Marvel has option to start reprints of all the Dark Horse Star Wars stuff?
Yes.
Once they start printing the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of an interesting move.
Again, I think it has to do with the money. I mean, Star Wars is big money. It's coming up soon.
Each of those Star Wars omnibus editions goes off the shelf instantaneously at $30 a pop.
So here at the Nerd Store.
Here at the Nerd Store. 078th Street. Like us on Facebook.
The King, Jack Kirby, turned 97 this week.
That's pretty awesome.
It's way cool. A lot of people like him because he's not so showy like Stan Lee is.
He's
a very quiet, kind of behind the scenes guy who doesn't promote himself quite as often.
But
as Stan Lee.
He still does art at cons and stuff like that. Amazing artist still. When I'm 97, I'm going to be lucky to, like, be able to get out of bed.
If I can get to 97.
I'm super stoked that I made it this far, to be really honest with you.
For anybody who doesn't know, he created Nick Fury, or helped create some of these people. Nick Fury, Darkseid, Commandy, Ronan the Accuser. One of his biggest ones was Captain America. But it's 97. I mean, that's amazing by itself, but to still be drawing and kind of doing all of that other stuff.
It's really cool. Really solidified, like, the look of the superhero, like the barrel chest, the big biceps, right. You know, that's a big, big mark in his column. Like, Jack Kirby was definitely, I think, the guy that kind of revolutionized how superheroes look. He took him, like, if you look at those early, like, Supermans, early Batmans, early, you know, even Captain America and stuff, they weren't, like, they didn't look like bodybuilders. They just looked like big guys.
Right.
And guys like Jack Kirby are definitely the ones that turned that around.
Him and Stan Lee also created the shared universe.
Right.
Which is really cool. Essentially, like we were talking about earlier, it's what weaves everything together.
At this point, it's everything that we love about comic books.
Right.
It's that huge soap opera that spans like 15 titles and, yeah.
And you just, I mean, who would have thought before that, you know, you'd ever get to see a Batman with a Superman in the same place, you know?
In general, it's a huge, amazing time for comic books and comic book movies.
Right.
Just because the things that they can do now are a billion times better. I remember I went and saw Tim Burton's Batman in the movie theater, like, non-exaggeration, 9 or 10 times.
Right.
Because it was the most amazing thing I had ever seen in my entire life. The new Batman movies blow it out of the water.
Right.
The Avengers movie blows it completely out of the water. Like, it's unreal how amazing movies are now.
And even though they were so ghetto, it was just cool to see somebody doing the things that Batman or Superman could do.
That's one thing that I loved about the Superman movies as a kid, even though I'm not the biggest Superman fan now. When I was a kid, you saw Christopher Reeves be Superman.
Right.
And it was taken seriously, and he could really fly, and there was real peril, and, I mean, not for Superman,
until the
of course.
Richard Pryor one.
Yeah, well, That was my favorite one.
I love Richard Pryor. Man.
I love Richard Pryor.
It's pretty genius. The best and worst casting world.
But it's like, what's Richard Pryor doing in a Superman movie?
Right. Being Richard Pryor.
Yeah, for sure. Stealing pennies.
So in our post-death of Superman world, we're coming up on Death of Wolverine here in about a few weeks.
Right.
The first one comes out, I think, in two weeks right now. I don't know when you'll actually get to listen to this. Ha, ha, ha. I was reading a really interesting article about that. Because of the shared universe and because of the movies and all that stuff, Marvel plans out their plot lines way, way far in advance.
Right.
And one of the bigwigs at Marvel was saying this week that there's no plans to bring Wolverine back through 2016.
When you first posted it, I didn't really know what to think. I mean, Wolverine's like one of their biggest attractions. It's weird to me that they would kill him off like that.
I was at the Halloween store today, getting my 3-year-old daughter her Captain America outfit because that's what she wants to be for Halloween.
I saw it. It was awesome.
It is awesome. But I saw all the Wolverine costumes, and all I could think is how are they going to keep that money sink of Wolverine alive? I mean. Look, I love Wolverine. Great character. Awesome concept. Like, the movies have been kind of ghetto.
Right.
Like, not my favorites. But in general...
But he's been the standout.
All the way back to, I mean, Marvel Comics Presents.
He's just a badass. I mean, he's just strong. He's got claws. He's nothing super fancy. It's just a dude who can just jack you up. Nothing crazy about it.
With his knife hands. I don't know. It's weird. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I don't know. I mean, who died in the evil in Forever Evil? Hawkman.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's weird to see some of these guys who at one point were prevalent and big just kind of going by the wayside at this point and to see what happens next.
I think the difference between Hawkman and Wolverine though is Wolverine's got like 4 standalone titles,
sure.
And
right.
Hawkman doesn't have anything. Like, I mean, it sucks that he died in that, but it's not like...
He's not as big.
It's not Wolverine,
right,
man.
I
mean, there's Wolverine, Savage Wolverine, Wolverine in the X-Men. He's been playing a huge role in the X-Men title. I mean, it's weird.
Like, his box office.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 2 movies and probably another one coming eventually.
2017.
Yeah. So that'll probably be when they bring him back to life.
It makes sense if that's the plan, because I mean, people are going to be missing it. People, I mean, if you say, oh, you know, for the next 3 or 4 years, there's going to be no Wolverine, and then all of a sudden, the year before, you know, you've got one huge movie coming out that just features him. It's going to be money.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm going to have to order so many copies of Wolverine. Marvel Now.Now .1.
It's just weird.
What else you got?
Andrew Lincoln. He did an interview a couple days ago saying that when and if he dies, even though I don't think it'll happen in the show, he wants to have Johnny Cash's Hurt playing in the background or at the end credits.
Man, I would ball like girl, if that happened.
I mean, for anybody who reads the comic books, he's been through so much in that comic book.
Right.
I just can't see him dying. I don't know.
They won't take him out in the TV show.
No.
He's too popular.
Right.
Daryl, on the other hand, I think that's going to happen this season.
I don't know.
All of those previews, man. And like, did you see the promo picture? They did the press picture, and they did one with him and one without him. I'm like, they're either taunting us or they're teasing out that he might not make it through this season.
I mean, they're also playing up his sexuality and things like that that I think you would play up if you were going to build the character up a little bit.
Right.
Which would make no sense if you were going to kill the character off. But I mean, I guess that's kind of what The Walking Dead does.
Yeah. I mean, and it's got just enough episodes per season that I feel like they could build up for like a half.
Right.
Or even like 3/4 of the season and then boom, just kill him just to tear your heart out.
Right.
And then like make people set buildings on fire. Man, people, he will die. Like as a character,
at some point,
Daryl will die.
For sure.
People are going to flip their shit when that happens.
I think the only two people who I think are safe are Carl and Rick. And, you know, comic books, who knows? But right. As far as the TV show goes, I think those are the two people who will stick around forever.
I would say Carl and Rick and Maggie or Glenn. Right. One or the other has to live. But
there might be spoilers in this. Just saying.
Well, no, this is gross speculation. I mean, except for that time I wrote for The Walking Dead.
But in the comic books.
Well, yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like such an obvious plot line, though.
Right.
To like kill off one of them so that the other one's like totally heartbroken and then goes insane and
right.
kills a bunch of people, a bunch of zombies, a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to beat up this car here.
You never know. I mean, I don't know who could hold the flag if Rick were to leave.
I mean, it would be weird. It would be a vastly different beast than the comic book, for sure.
Right.
So, but it already is in like so many ways. It's very
and you're catching up quick. I mean, how do you have to at some point the TV show at the beginning. I mean, that whole first season really didn't make it out of the first couple of issues.
I think like the first, it maybe made it through the first like trade and a half,
right,
or something like that.
And at some point, it's going to catch up, and they're going to have to start. I mean, they're going to deviate from each other.
Well, they'll have to. It's the Game of Thrones syndrome,
right?
Like that TV show is pretty much caught up with the books, and George R. R. Martin, like, you know, hunts and pecks one finger at a time.
And he loves it. That's his style. Yeah,
he doesn't give a crap. Yeah. He doesn't care what you think.
And he said it before.
Or what Weird Al thinks, apparently.
Right.
So, I don't know. Speaking of Walking Dead, Netflix is about to release new seasons of Walking Dead, Arrow, and Comic Book Man. Yep. So,
after they posted that, I don't know why so many people have a hatred for Kevin Smith. I love the Comic Book Man. Dude, I love it.
I'll fight anybody with dogs on Kevin Smith, man. I love that guy.
I don't know what everybody's beef with him is. People are calling him a shitty writer, and they hope it gets canceled, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the internet is vitriol anyways. It just is what it is, but it just made me laugh.
Batman's Widening Gyre?
Oh, great book, awesome.
Man. Batman 66? Like, I mean, admittedly, the Batman 66 Green Hornet, I'm pretty sure Ralph Garman's writing most of that
because
he absolutely loves, you know, that vintage of Batman.
His collection's huge.
Dude, it's a great book. It's freaking hilarious. And, man, whatever. People are idiots.
His run of the Green Arrow, I think, is what started my actual love for comic books and wanting to learn more and read more. And he just does a really good job of, I mean, in his podcast, he's a really good speaker. And that comes out in his comic books.
Right.
He writes so much into a thought bubble, or, you know, more than any other comic book I've ever read.
Right. And but it bugs some people.
It does.
They hate it. It's too many words. It's too much this. It's too much that. It's like, some of us didn't read, you know, Blankets or Black Hole. Like, that's, you know, that's a lot of words. I mean.
Me included.
Or they didn't read, like, manga ever. Right. I don't know. That bugs me when people try to. Well, comic books should be faster paced. They should have less talking. They should have more action. Why? What makes Alan Moore great? His insane storytelling. Saga of the Swamp Thing and Watchmen are like the most verbose fucking comic books on the face of the earth, and that's what makes them amazing.
And people, I mean, Saga. As far as I have not caught up on Saga yet, and I'll be totally upfront. I've been really bad at it because.
Hey, remember
really
when I told you guys we were gonna say how it's the best comic ever? Best comic ever.
I know a lot of people who absolutely love it.
Yeah,
and I just haven't been able to pick it up myself. But it's supposedly really, really,
really well written. Same thing like Alan Moore is Brian K. Vaughan. His strength is in his writing, you know, Why the Last Man and Saga and his run of Swamp Thing. Ooh, notice that all the great writers have done a run of Swamp Thing. But, I mean, it's pretty amazing, so.
If you don't like it, find something you like. You know, why dog it? Why should it be canceled, or why should we stop doing it just because you don't like it, which is really stupid.
I mean, and in a world where Honey Boo Boo is a thing, like, why do you give a fuck that I want to...
stupid Kardashians.
Yeah, why do you care that I want to watch a TV show about comic books?
That gets a million or more people to watch it, by the way.
On AMC.
Right.
Like, and it's after, like, one of the greatest TV shows. Like, in my opinion, it's one of the greatest translations from comic book to TV show that I've ever seen.
Right. It's
like Walking Dead is unbelievably good. And if that is not your opinion, your opinion is wrong. But Comic Book Men is a perfect fit for that. Like, they do Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick, and then they play Comic Book Men. Who wouldn't want to watch that if you're a comic book nerd? And if you hate Comic Book Men, you have AMC, which means you have, like, 250 other channels.
Right,
like,
that you're paying for.
Yeah.
And I promise, they are exactly like that. I've been to Red Bank, and I've been to the comic book store.
Yeah, that makes me jealous. It makes me jealous that you've been to Secret Stash and to see Hollywood Babylon.
Yeah, it's a good time. I love it. I make sure wherever I'm going, I do something nerd-related. When I used to travel, every state I went into, I had to visit at least one or two comic book stores.
When we went on vacation this year, we went to the Hall of Heroes in Indiana.
That's cool.
It's this dude's gigantic three-car garage that he has turned into the Hall of Justice, and it has his, like, massive comic book collection. It's a two-story garage.
Right.
The whole top floor is ceiling-to-floor long boxes, just all the way around. Tons and tons of toys. The best part, all of his toys opened. Like, nothing is in
nothing
box.
Missed.
Absolutely everything is open. Because you know he's like, oh, that's awesome. Play.
So. The guy who many of you will hear from a little bit later, John, he has a, it's not two stories, but his basement, I mean, is top to bottom full of long boxes and comic books.
Dude, that's
he's
awesome.
Probably got 300,000 back issues in that basement, which is absolutely
that's
insane.
Unreal. Yeah. I would have that many if I had the space for it, but I have to every once in a while, like, call
and,
my
and
collection.
Not a wife.
Well, I mean, I do have two long boxes just full of Conan stuff, so she's pretty permissive. So, she's like, what do you mean you got more Conan comics?
Yeah, some guy brought him into the store today.
Crazy.
I don't know.
I had to buy the collection, my collection. And I definitely didn't pay money for these.
Which makes it even better.
Yeah. Hopefully she doesn't listen to this. Which she will, because I know her. Hi, Mel.
If you haven't noticed, we'll be bouncing around. It's going to be just a bunch of random things that come to our mind. And if it doesn't make a lot of sense to you, I'm sorry. Hopefully it does. Hopefully you have fun riding the train.
All right, we're back from our break. I'm sure that was some kind of bumper music or sound effects or something.
Yeah, it may not be a huge break.
Yeah. And then. But so now we're going to talk about some current stuff. Juan has some kind of like current news items, and I have a couple books on the shelf that I want to talk about just because, you know, they're not seeing a ton of action, and they should definitely be seeing more action. Stuff that I think people should be paying a little more attention to. So why don't you hit us with a piece of news?
Well, Guardian of the Galaxy, we talked about it a little bit earlier, I think, maybe. It just became the top grossing movie of 2014, which is really, really cool.
How long do you think before it's like one of the top grossing movies of all time?
Oh, man, that's like Titanic style right there. I don't know. And it's so crazy because it's not even characters who most people readily identify
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite part of it, is all of a sudden I was in the movie theater and this guy like started going off like on this total tangent. I'm like, all of a sudden you're like an authority on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Like, nobody reads that book, man. Like, are you kidding me? Like, it's a great book. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it wasn't huge. It hasn't been huge. Like,
who reads about or who expects to go see a movie that's as cool as it was about a tree who says four different words, you know?
Right. And his
hilarious.
And his raccoon compatriot. Like, I mean, Rocket Raccoon was like a second tier character. I mean, he's on par with the, spoiler alert, Howard the Duck. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People threw him away, like, as a character, and now he's awesome. I mean,
he's got his own.
Yeah,
he's
got his own standalone title. There's a standalone Legendary Star-Lord title right now. There's, you know, like four Guardians of the Galaxy books going right now. It's awesome. My kids loved it. I mean, everybody, I have yet to hear somebody go, I went to see Guardians of the Galaxy and it sucked, which is why I'm curious. Like, it's got to be, I feel like it's enough of a cultural phenomena at this point that I could see it hitting like those Jurassic Park, Titanic kind of numbers. I mean,
I think it's been open 4 weeks, and I think it only got knocked off one weekend of the 4 weeks that it's been
open. And that was because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Right. And then it bounced back, which is kind of unheard of in movies.
It's number one this weekend as well for Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, Labor Day.
Labor. I always get those two confused.
It's okay.
So far.
I've worked every Labor Day and Memorial Day of like my whole life, so it just doesn't matter.
Just another holiday, but that's not true. That's not true. So far, $262.1 million domestic and over $500 million worldwide. Robert Downey Jr. said it was possibly the best Marvel movie that
I've said that several times to people. It's my favorite. Obviously, I've seen all the Marvel movies because there's something wrong with me. You know,
who hasn't?
Man, I watched I watched Ang Lee's Hulk like twice. I really like that one. So there is actually something wrong with me. I mean, I've gone so far as to watch like the cartoons and stuff too, like just to see some cool continuity stuff and also because it's the first like movie appearance of Doctor Strange and whatnot.
For sure.
I mean, I've told all of my friends this is my favorite Marvel movie. And I can't wait to see them tie it together with Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet and all that stuff. That's going to be amazingly cool.
And for somebody like, you know, Robert Downey Jr., who has been known to have an ego, to say that it's better than his own movie is pretty impressive.
I mean, and on top of it, he's been a part of, what, like seven?
Three, something like that.
Seven of the other Marvel movies, at least like in cameos and stuff.
Right.
I mean, he's not only familiar with them from watching them, he's familiar with them having been a part of them. And Chris Pratt is my hero. Like, holy crap. Because I'm tubby. I'm slimming down. Like, but seeing the before and after pictures of Chris Pratt, I'm like, I can do this.
Right. Inspiration.
I was like, he was on Parks and Recreation, and I associated with him because he is also dumb and fat.
He kept the dumb, or I don't know if he kept the dumb. Was he dumb in this movie?
No.
I don't know.
He's a genius in this movie.
Yeah, he just comes off a little dumb.
He says turd blossom. It's like my kid's favorite word.
He's just a very smart six-year-old.
Speaking of dumb stuff, so one of the books that I've been seeing not disappearing as fast as it totally should, Bob's Burgers number one. Do you watch this show?
No. Nope.
Well, nope. Oh, you've got to watch it. Okay, so if you're not familiar with Bob's Burgers, it's a Fox show. It's like in that same block as like Family Guy and Simpsons and stuff like that. It's about this dude named Bob Belcher, okay? He runs a burger place with his family, who's Linda, his wife, who's total, like, Jersey lady. and, like, his kids, who are, like, what make the show. So Bob is, like, this dude, and he's kind of, like, bumbling and a little dorky and dumb. His kids are insane. He's got Gene, who says everything in non sequiturs, like...
Okay.
He's always saying, like, ridiculous, insane things. He's got Louise, who's the youngest, who's, like, a megalomaniac, and is constantly trying to, like, thwart her father. Like, you know, Stewie's always trying to kill his mom and stuff like that. Imagine that, but ramped up on, like, this weird, like, epic scale that's even worse than Stewie. And then his super awkward daughter, Tina, who... is just really awkward.
I think
and
that's
creepy.
Like the chemistry. A stupid dad.
Yeah.
A mischievous little boy, and then an awkward little girl. That's like every TV, you know, cartoon family.
Well, you could pretty much fit that into the Simpsons too, now that they say it. Huh. There is a pattern. My paradigm has been ruined. But Bob's Burgers comic book is amazing. It sold out its number one issue and is about to go into second print. Like, just here in town, you know, we live in not the biggest town, so people are not buying, like, insane things. Like,
still a good amount of comic supporters, I think.
We do. We sell a ton of comics, but, man, that Bob's Burgers comic is hilarious. Like,
I have to put it in my pool, I guess.
If you're familiar with the show, you should be reading it. If you're not familiar with the show, do yourself a favor and watch the show. Like, I know the first, like, two seasons are on Netflix or something like that. It's hilarious. Gabe's an idiot, but this is funny.
Yeah. I don't know. She's not into...
humor?
I'm a huge... Yeah. All right, we gotta shut the doors down now.
Just trying to get you into trouble, yeah.
She's not a big, I don't like Family Guy. I'm not a big Family Guy fan. I love The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I have definitely been keeping up with that, especially when my wife's asleep. It's just, I grew up with it. It's ingrained in me. She's just not a big, I don't know if the humor's just not right or what, but.
It's probably like my wife. My wife doesn't like Tommy Boy, which is weird awesome. To me. Right, exactly. It's awesome. But I think there's genuinely this level, there's like a specific level of stupidity that like my wife can take.
Right.
You know, and Bob's Burgers is like right on that cusp of like, it's just smart enough that she likes it, but just stupid enough that I like it. So.
We're bonding over our own stupidity.
Yeah. It's great. It's worth watching.
I'll have to take a look. Nice. I don't know. I haven't. I guess it probably translates better going TV show to comic book. Axe Cop. I couldn't. My mind couldn't go because it was. I mean, the little kid writes it.
Right.
So I just couldn't. It just didn't fit in my brain right. I haven't seen the show. I don't know if it's popular or not. But I think I don't know how that would translate going from comic book to a TV show like The Walking Dead.
I don't know that Axe Cop was that popular on TV. The comic is incredibly popular and, in my opinion, super funny.
It's really funny.
It's perfect because it's like just that step up where like my 8-year-old son probably shouldn't be reading it.
Right.
But he does and he loves it because it's on his level. Because this weird little kid who just happens to have like
I think it's his older brother.
Oh.
I think it's his older brother.
Who's an extremely talented comic book artist drawing these ridiculous stories. The poop one's the best one. The poop.
I don't know. I can't. And it's maybe because I'm not a little kid anymore. I just could not. It didn't flow with me. I couldn't do it. After the first, I have a niece who absolutely loves it.
Right.
I introduced it to her and she loves it. I just can't. It doesn't flow right for me.
You know what's interesting is as my kids have gotten older and kind of started getting into their own things, I see movies and like comic books and TV shows differently.
Right.
Because I see how exciting it is for them. And it's almost like for a little bit, I'm that little kid again.
Right, right.
Like I went to see Real Steel with my son. That movie's, I'm pretty sure, awful. But I'm not sure. Because I watch it with my kid, and for me, in that moment, I'm there with, like, my boy, and it's just this badass movie about dudes that box with robots.
Right.
And that's awesome. I'm pretty sure the movie's terrible. It doesn't matter. I watch it with my son, and with my son, it was awesome, because...
I mean, you could say the same thing about, the last three Star Wars. They weren't meant for us...
Yeah.
I say us, and I'm not even that old, but they weren't meant for the audience who originally watched those first three movies.
Right.
They're meant for young kids. You know, Jar Jar Binks is horrendous, but
yes.
Little kids loved him. You know what I mean?
Not mine.
a lot of little kids did love him.
My little brother thought he was hilarious. Side note, my little brother's like 8, so he's not just weird. But, yeah, I mean, I can see movies better like that, I think, a lot of the times.
Right.
I mean, I find myself enjoying children's films in a way that I definitely wouldn't have if I wasn't going to see them with my kids.
Right.
So.
I think kids probably do that with everything.
I mean, I think
just doing anything stupid with your little boy or little girl, it makes it so much cooler.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Oh, man, you know what's... Man, we get way off track.
That's all right.
Awesome. Okay. I was on Amazon and found the entire run of Dungeons & Dragons, the cartoon, on DVD for like $10. Bought it, and I started watching it because I wanted to watch it.
Right.
Like, I'm like, oh, man, I loved this show.
Right.
So I started watching it. It's not great. It's not terrible, but it's not great. But my 3-year-old is sitting on the couch watching them with me.
Right.
So we wake up the next morning and, you know, it's time for her to, you know, have her little bit of TV time. And she pulls it off the shelf and goes, "Daddy, Dungeons and Dragons." I'm all, "Okay.
I'm in.
And I'm sold. Like, it's pretty cool. I love that. What else you got current for us? It's cool.
Doctor Who. I love Doctor Who.
Man, I mean, so far behind.
I mean, how far is so far?
I'm like a season and a half behind.
Okay. Wow, that is behind.
Yeah, because so I'm mostly stuck with Netflix. Like, I don't have cable. Right. So, like, I watch things on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon. So the way they release them, you know, you're always that, like, season behind.
Right.
So the new season obviously started last...
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago mm-hmm. now. So the... What is it? The eighth
season
is... That's not this one. That's the one before it, right?
No, that's this
okay,
one.
Okay, so I'm, like, on... I'm like halfway through the sixth season. The seventh season is on Netflix. I just haven't watched it yet. So okay.
I came in during Matt Smith.
Okay.
And I loved it. I don't know what it was about him. He was just so quirky and
it's
weird.
Perfect. He's a great doctor.
It was awesome. I loved it. I'm going back now. On cable, they're playing the Eccleston version as well. As the new ones, so I'm watching both of them concurrently, and I'm going all the way back to the 1960s version, so I'm watching all of those as well. So
not all of them, because they're missing.
Right. And I do get that, because where I get them from, it says, you know, there's a still that says, due to time or whatever, we've lost these certain episodes, and I'm getting... you know, some of them were released on audio, but you don't get any of the video.
Right.
So I'm kind of weeding through it. It's a little weird.
It could be tricky. The BBC will pay you a buttload of money if you find them too. And what's hilarious is I'm waiting for the day when I go to a garage sale and somebody just has them recorded on VHS.
Right.
Because they used to play them on PBS.
Right.
Like when I was a little kid, I watched mostly like 4th, 5th, and 6th Doctor stuff. And I didn't really like it that much. It was like one of my dad's shows.
Right.
And I thought it was okay, but it wasn't like super, super interesting.
Right.
Then as I got like older, like 11 or 12, I started watching like Next Generation, and I started going back and watching Doctor Who, and I really liked it. And then, of course, it just went away. You know, there were no new episodes or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
So when the Eccleston series came out, I was like, well, I mean, it looks cool, I guess, but I haven't watched Doctor Who since I was like 12.
Right.
You know? And I didn't watch it until... I think maybe the third season with David Tennant.
Yeah, yep.
So one of my friends was like, "You got to watch Doctor Who. You got to watch Doctor Who. It's this great new show." I was like, "Great new show? Man, that show's been around
forever.
They're like,
50 years now.
They're like, no. It's only like on season 3. I'm like, no, it's not. And so I watched the first season. I actually had a hard time getting through probably like the first like 4 or 5 episodes with Eccleston. Like, they were good, but they weren't, like, super great.
I can remember 2005. That's when it started.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it, but not watching it. And going, I don't know if I'd like this. You know, because at the time, I didn't really like any of that kind of stuff. And he seems brooding, and he seems big, but he's like Matt Smith. Very quirky and very
funny.
Bouncy and all of that kind of stuff.
I give you my breath.
Like, he's putting the mint in her mouth.
Yeah.
It's just, I like him. I like Eccleston. I don't know. Like I said, at this point, Matt Smith is my favorite. I I've not seen ever all of them, so people will crucify me, I'm sure, for that. But
no, dude. They say your favorite doctor is always your first doctor.
Like, right. That makes sense.
My favorite doctor is the fourth doctor. Like, he's funny and, like, scarf and whatnot.
Right.
So, I mean, it's... Those were the episodes I grew up on. They're the ones that I enjoyed. I remember watching the Eccleston ones and being like, well, this is kind of cool. It's definitely in the spirit of Doctor Who, where it's like that first episode specifically with the mannequins, and it's just so dumb.
It's awesome. Like, I just watched it the other day. It's just so awesome.
It's just so dorky and weird, and I'm just like, oh, God, this is just like the ones I used to watch as a kid. Like, just weird.
With an arm just trying to strangle you.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it's like, so awesome.
Just... knock the arm out of the way. But
that's superhuman strength.
I know. But when I mean, by the time David Tennant hit his stride, I was sold, man. You know what episode really did it for me is the Family of Blood one.
Okay.
Where he just, at the end, because he has the pocket watch.
Right.
And then he comes out of it and just like, you know, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry style. Right. That was, man, that solidified that show so hardcore for me, where I was just like, I'm never not watching this show.
I mean, I fell in love because it was unique. It was funny. And the more and more I watched, it was, you know, watching the special, the Christmas special and the Thanksgiving special, you know, when, I don't want to spoil too much because you're trying to catch up, but it's just, it buys me in just that much more.
Oh, and we, through the store, we ran a special event at a local movie theater called The Crest, where we played The Day of the Doctor.
Right.
We live streamed Day of the Doctor. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the whole place.
Right.
I mean, it's, that show is genuinely moving. Like, it's so well written. Like, and just,
and after
so
50
well
years,
done.
It's crazy that yeah. they can still do it.
And it's still great. And the old ones are just as good. I mean, sure, some of them are like cheesy and the special effects are dumb, but you get invested in those characters right. really, really quickly because they're really, really well done. So,
and the Dalek still looks the same 50 years.
Yeah, but now they fly. Like, that's scary.
I really enjoy Peter so far. Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi. I'm going to have to acquire the new episodes once I get caught up. I mean, I want to see them. It's just, you know, do I really want to go to prison to see them?
They're good. I mean, he's not as, he has his moments of humor. He's more rugged, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, cause he's older and they explain why and all of that kind of stuff. But, I don't know. There's something about him that I like so
well,
far.
Well, the older doctors are great. Like there's some episodes on Netflix of the older episodes. And I want to say he's like the very first doctor, the guy that has kind of like the A haircut.
Yeah. Yep.
It looks kind of like an English judge almost, has the weird hair.
Yep.
He's mean.
He is
mean. Like, he's really mean. And he talks down to his companions.
Right.
And I like that idea that each doctor, though still the doctor, has his own unique and different personality. Like, right. Matt Smith, like, David Tennant is kind of like the angrier. Like, he's so, I feel like it's because Eccleston and Tennant are so close to the war doctor,
right.
that they still have that, like, bit of anger behind them. And Matt Smith, his doctor, seems to be trying to move beyond that.
Right.
You know, to a greater or lesser extent, he does and doesn't. Like, he definitely struggles more with the morality of his decisions,
right.
as opposed to still being able to, like, harness that rage. And I think that's, it's a really interesting track. I mean, what a great show. Man, we could probably talk
forever.
We could probably have our own Doctor Who podcast.
I love it. I mean, it's good. I keep up with, I'm trying to watch three different doctors all at the same time,
right.
and it's cool because you get throwbacks in the new ones, you know, to the old doctors.
Yeah, most people aren't catching. That's the one thing that I've loved is every once in a while I'll be like, oh, that's just like that one episode from, you know, 75.
Right.
You know? My daughter had the craziest Doctor Who experience at Denver Comic Con like a year or so ago. We're waiting in line for like one of the panels it's like the 50 greatest Doctor Who episodes or something
right.
like that. And this little girl, like easy two or three years younger than my daughter, just starts rattling off like just all this Doctor Who like knowledge. And all I could think of is that scene in A Christmas Story when they're waiting for Santa and that one little kid goes, I like the Wizard of Oz. Like, that kid's creepy. We're not sitting next to her. So
that's funny, but she knows a lot.
Nice. Just if you go back to previous podcasts that me and my friends have recorded, you will notice that I come in from breaks really quickly. So, all right, with that said,
and we're back to the second break. Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed that word from our non-existent sponsors.
Yes,
we're going to talk about stuff that we're excited about that's coming soon. In other podcasts, we have called this the "shit we are excited about" segment. I'm going to start off because I want to say this one before Juan says this one. How excited are you for Alien Fire and Stone?
Oh, it's in there. It's totally in there. I'm super excited. I love it. I'm a huge Alien fan. Anything that I can delve and read into and brings continuity together, and right. It's just amazing to me. I love it.
I'm super stoked to see them use the comic book to pull together Prometheus, the Aliens movies, the Alien saga that's in the comic books, the Predator world. Like, I love that shared universe, the right. Alien and Predator, that they come from the same universe and have fought each other through generations and right. all that stuff. I'm really interested to see what they do with Prometheus, Fire and Stone, because I'm really hoping that they take, here's what happened through Prometheus, here's what happens in Fire and Stone, here's Prometheus 2.
Right.
I'm really, really hoping they do that. I've always wanted a movie to have, like, an essential segment that's in a comic book. I mean, my whole life I've wanted that to happen. I really hope it's not Prometheus 1, some interesting things happen, Prometheus 2.
Right.
You don't have to read the comic right. book, but it's nice. I kind of want it to be, you're missing Prometheus 2, and really Prometheus 2 is Prometheus 3.
Right, you right, know? Right. And it's cool. I mean, it brings people to the medium.
Oh, yeah.
It's which is always nice.
And I think it's really in touch with what, you know, what Ridley Scott and what Giger wanted to do with those ideas. Alien is a very viscerally visual thing. I mean, Giger wanted it to be visually disturbing, and Ridley Scott ran with that. You know, I rewatched the first Alien, of course, because I mean, I do like every.
I ran
year.
Into somebody who didn't like today. Actually, didn't like any Aliens except for Prometheus, which is really, really weird to me. I don't
wow,
understand it.
What a weird world yeah. we live in. I mean.
And that's probably the least liked of all of them.
You know, what's really interesting, so I didn't see Prometheus in the theater, and like all my friends, oh, it's awful. It's nothing like Alien. It's so horrible.
Right.
I hated it so much because I have a, like, I love my friends, but they're a bunch of naysaying assholes. Like, they love to just, like, tear movies apart for their continuity and stuff. Like, this kind of goes back to my watching movies with my kids. I will buy into a movie. Like, I do not give a crap about right. loopholes. I don't do it. I'm just like, this is awesome.
I don't even notice most of that stuff.
Neither do I. Like, we're probably terrible for this kind of podcast because yeah. we're just, like, unabashedly enthusiastic. Yeah, it was great. I'll tell you exactly what sold me on Prometheus. They go in. They, like, find the eggs. The dude leans over and it goes into his helmet. I'm
right.
like, cool.
The little eel?
I'm cool. This is awesome.
It was good. I mean, I think most people's qualms about it was that it didn't directly tie into Alien.
Not completely.
Right.
But so close.
Which,
like,
but I mean, if you listen to interviews, you know, Ridley Scott was saying it's not going to. This is not a prequel. You know, yes, it's in the same universe, and they're going to share. It's going to have, I think he said, alien DNA is what he quoted.
Yeah.
And, you know, other than that, it's not a prequel. You know what I mean? They're supposed to be, from what I understand, this one, the Prometheus, first one, the second Prometheus, and the tie-in.
Right.
You know, that third one is supposed to be the one that ties all of this
all
together.
All of them together, which is perfect. Like, it gives them a chance to really explore the world, explore right. the creation. I mean, I'm really hoping that the comic book isn't so much like a direct sequel as the essential backstory
right.
of the planet that what I would call, I guess, the Prometheans,
right.
which is probably not what they'll actually be called, but who cares? I want it to be that really, really bad.
It just, I mean, how do you please fans who want a good prequel in 2 hours?
You know, whatever George Lucas does, but the opposite. That's how you do it.
I think three movies is perfect. I mean, like you said, it gives you depth. It gives you
right.
the chance to build characters and build worlds rather than throwing everything together and seeing what happens.
I mean, and it'll make a perfect, you know, six-movie run because
right.
there's three good Alien movies.
10 hours ago or 12 hours ago, I read, the script is actually finished.
For
Prometheus 2.
Nice. I'm pretty excited about it. And I'm stoked to see how they tie in like the alien world, the Prometheus, and the Predator thing, because and there's also an AVP fire and stuff.
Right, right.
Because I mean, why not? Let's go for it.
If we see it in the movies, my mind might explode.
Yeah. Well, did you like the Aliens vs. Predator movies?
I did. I'm just so enthusiastic about these kinds of things that I love. It's hard for me not to like them. It's hard for me to see, you know, I didn't like this part or the story was stupid or blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's...
I just go into it just expecting to love the movie.
I mean, what do you want from an Aliens vs. Predator movie?
Right.
You want there to be aliens. You want there to be predators. You want some people in there that are stuck between the two.
Right.
And you want them to all fight and kill each other. That is exactly what you got, man. They were great. And
I like the first one better than the second one.
I did like
the second one is tough. It's dark.
The Requiem cut?
Yeah.
Did you see that
mm-hmm.
cut of it? I actually like the Requiem cut a lot better because I saw it in the theater randomly. I don't know. I think it was a date or something. I don't know. It was really weird. I've taken girls to like really inappropriate movies. Like, it's actually a wonder that I'm married. But I just remember watching it and being like, this is cool. Like, I like this. And then watching the Requiem cut when it came out on DVD and being right. like, this is way better. Like, this is even better than the movie was. So,
and again, it's like I said earlier, it's one of those things I got out of the theater, immediately went home, and was like, okay, what did I miss? Like, how were there, you know, what were the little tie-ins to the Weyland-Yutani Corporation and
right.
all of those little things that... that people who just go to see the movie, they miss, you know, and I love those little facts.
Me too. That's half the fun of, like, watching, especially series movies. Like,
right.
there's all the little nods to other movies, and, I mean, there's a huge, you know, backlog of, like, Alien and Predator comic books that
yep.
really explore that world, too, which is super cool. And I'm seeing a ton of renewed interest in it, too, which is awesome. People come in, they're like, do you have Predator comics? I'm like, I've got like five left.
as soon as I read the article that they were coming out, I emailed you and said, I want.
Oh, you know, I know.
It's not going to be for another 4 or 5 months, but I want.
No, the first one comes out really soon.
Well, I mean, but from when I first emailed you,
it was
a while.
I definitely want these. Oh, man. What else is coming soon that you're super stoked about?
Tusk.
Oh,
I love
of course.
It.
Dude, when they dropped that first preview, I was like, I'm watching that.
I was refreshing that page and refreshing that page because I wanted to see that trailer. It's just so weird of a movie.
Yeah, it's creepy. It looks weird and creepy, and it's... I don't think Kevin Smith could have made a horror movie without making it like that. The premise is so weird and so preposterous. And it's still, like, you can see that it's got that, like, thread of humor in it. Because Red State had that, too.
It did.
Red State's a pretty
intense... And it's a really good movie.
Red State has a pretty intense, you know, theme and a really intense, like... I mean, that gunfight is, like, a good two-thirds of the
forever.
Movie. I mean, it's intense, but John Goodman's hilarious in it. The way it ends is maybe one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Because not like the not how it ends, but like the kind of coda afterwards
right.
where, you know, he comes in and, you know, tells them what actually happened.
Right.
Like, I don't know, can we spoil that? Like,
it's been out for like 2 years,
okay.
hasn't it?
Yeah. So,
if you haven't seen it by now, go get it.
Sucker. Like, so the cult is, you know, coming out because they hear these horn blasts
right.
and they think it's Jesus coming back when really it's like a bunch of hippies in a bus that don't like them that are playing it over like these huge speakers to make it sound like the Lord is coming back.
And if you delve in a little deeper, Kevin Smith has said that maybe or maybe not, he won't confirm it, that is actually Jay and Silent Bob, who are a part of that group, who plays that music.
That would be amazing. Oh my god, I would love that.
Because there is a continuity in all of his movies too. So
right.
that, you know, that was from what he said, a little nod. But again, he won't confirm it. But it would be super funny.
Oh, I'm gonna believe that forever now. It doesn't matter what he says. We have a man crush on Kevin Smith.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
I love
sure.
it. I love him.
Everything he does.
His what is the title of his book? Tough Shit. I got a sign from him actually, but It's I couldn't stop reading. It's just such an amazing, inspiring book because he does more, even in his podcast when you listen to him, he does more than just oh, hey, this is the news and this is kind of what we're talking about. His purpose is to inspire you and to make you do something good, because it's as he says, you know, if a fat guy from Red Bank can do it, why can't you?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly why on and off through my life I've done stuff like this and I've been in bands, is because you see people like Kevin Smith and you're like, man, I can do that shit. All he does is talk.
Right.
I'm really good at talking. that's what I love about him too. I'm super stoked on Tusk. Have you seen any of the pictures, like the stills and stuff from Yoga Hosers?
I have a little bit.
It looks really funny too. So Yoga Hosers, apparently there's like these girls that are a part of Tusk. They're kind of like a little brief moment of comedy in what otherwise looks to be like a fairly disturbing and bleak film.
Well, if you can remember the trailer, if you haven't, I'm sure we'll put it up. It's the point where he's asking for directions and how far it is in the convenience store.
Right.
And Kevin Smith's daughter says she hates American boys at that point. Those are right. The two girls that are going to be featured in Yoga Hosers.
It's kind of like Canadian Clerks, now that I think about it. Canadian Lady Clerks.
With him, with her, and Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yeah. And Johnny Depp is in it, too.
He's in that.
Something about that this week.
Supposedly, he's in Tusk.
Yeah. He plays
a cop. Guy LaPointe, I think is what it is. Yeah.
Man, I gotta read more about that. Now I'm going to spend like 2 hours on the internet.
And he got Stan Lee to do Yoga Hosers too.
Right.
They just did an interview with him about that as well.
Which is awesome. It's like it's the second time he's been in a Kevin Smith movie, which really says
Mallrats was the first.
Mallrats, yeah. Your friend's really obsessed with superhero genitalia.
great movie.
Right. Great
movie. I definitely recommend going to buy that book. Tough Shit is a really, really good book.
Nice.
Like I said, I couldn't put it down.
It's actually, I haven't picked it up.
It's good.
I don't buy books as often as I should, because I'm spending way too much money on comic books most of the time. So
it's like I said, he goes on to talk about his weight and you know, how he perceives that skinnier people view, you know, bigger people. We're both bigger people. It is what it is. You know, and about the time he got kicked off the airplane for being too fat to fly. It's just a really good book.
I haven't flown Southwest since. I've only flown one time since then, though, so they're not losing a ton of business.
It's funny because they didn't know who he was.
Right.
They didn't know who this fat guy was who they just kicked off their plane. Immediately, he gets off the plane and starts lighting Twitter up.
Right.
And
because he's fucking furious, man.
Of course, for sure. But it's hilarious because in the book he recounts that, and he talks about one of the some big head honcho coming out to him and saying, "Stop tweeting because we're gonna try and fix this, but stop putting stuff on the internet." It's just so funny.
As he tweets it out, hashtag Southwest kiss my ass.
It's just hilarious. His whole life is funny.
Dude, he's cool. I love listening to I really love listening to Jay and Silent Bob Get Old.
They're funny.
I have a lot of friends that have dealt with like substance abuse and stuff like that, so it's nice to see him not only like support his friend through it, but like do it in such a public way that he's like, "Look, if you screw up, like a million people are going to know."
And it's funny because he says the same thing. He's like, "God, you know, he'll have dreams where he jacks it up, where he fucks up, and he wakes up going, shit, I gotta tell all of these people that I just messed up, you know," and then he'll go, "Oh, that was a dream.
That was a dream." Except for it sounds way more stoned.
Yeah, for sure. I'm huge. He's the biggest reason, I think, that first I started working on the Quantum Leap podcast. You know, and helping them out, and then doing this on our own.
He is absolutely the reason I got back into comic books. Like, I went through, I grew up on comic books. When my parents got divorced, when I went to my dad's house, I didn't get bedtime stories. Like, he didn't read me, you know, Robinson Crusoe and stuff like that. Like, my mom did. He read me Swamp Thing, Sergeant Rock, and Rawhide Kid and Kid Colt. Like, that's what I grew up reading, was comic books.
Right.
You know, when I got a little older, like, I would be like, Dad, let's get these G.I. Joes back in the day when you could buy comic books at the grocery store, which was, like, the coolest thing on the face of the earth. My parents would take me to the grocery store, sit me down in the magazine aisle, and I would just read comic books until they were done grocery shopping.
Right.
But, so, you know, I started buying my own books or asking my dad to buy me, and, you know, I started reading G.I. Joe, I started reading this. By the time I was in high school, I had a huge collection, and it was mostly, like, horror comics like Tales from the Crypt and, like, you know.
Great show.
Yeah, even better comic. bite my ass, comics code. and then a lot of, like, the Ghost Rider stuff, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, I got older. I stopped buying them. You know, I was buying things here and there. You know, when I heard about Walking Dead, I was like, well, I should start picking that up. And then I got married and, you know, that didn't go so well. I ended up selling a ton of my comic books and I just kind of totally stopped collecting. That all turns into a divorce. You know, I have all these kids, whatever. I'm sitting on...
Gloss by the kids.
Yeah, we'll gloss by the horrible stuff and the kids. There, you'll hear plenty about them, I'm sure. I get remarried and one night I'm sitting on the couch and there's this show on Netflix called Comic Book Men. I turn it on and they're talking about shit I used to own. I'm like, dude, I've got to go buy all of those things. And I, man, like 2 weeks later, my wife is like, where did all this come from? Like, what is this? I was like, oh my God, I love comic books.
I'm reinvigorated.
She's like, what do you mean you love comic books? I'm like, you have no idea what's just happened. And yeah, it's all been downhill from there.
It's cool. And that's the sad thing for me sometimes is I didn't grow up doing any of this. Yeah. You know what I mean? We were poor, you know, blah, blah, blah. I won't bore you with all that crap, but...
my story was boring?
No, not at all. Not at all. But, you know, growing up with it is it just makes it so much better. You know, I'm a huge, huge wrestling fan. And it's because I can remember when I was 5 or 6 years old sitting on the couch and watching with my family.
Watching Hogan pick up on the Giant.
It's just awesome. And it's ingrained in my head, and now that I have a little boy... It's, you know, we watch every Monday. I don't falter. And I love him, you know, he'll point to the TV and we'll turn it on and he just loves it with me. And it's cool because I can see me making the same memories that I did with my dad when we were.
Get that same thing with the comic books. Like my son, I mean, he has a Deadpool collection. And it's awesome. He loves Deadpool, which of course is woefully age inappropriate for him, but whatever. And my daughter... You know, her thing, I love scary stuff. I've always loved scary stuff.
Me too.
So my daughter and I, we watch every episode of Ghost Adventures, every episode of Ghost Hunters. We both watch, like, the full run of Supernatural. Like, and we sit there. I introduced my kids to Army of Darkness a couple of weeks ago.
Man.
And, like, yeah, it's not scary, but, I mean, they're still little kids. Like, I can't throw them into The Hills Have Eyes or anything. You know what I'm saying?
That's more a gore and craziness than scare.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I mean, for like 3 days, my son's just walking around the house. This is my boomstick. I mean, I love that. I love creating. These are the things I loved when I was a kid. I want to show them to you so that they're the things you love. Because when I look back at the things my dad was showing me, you know, Westerns, like Western movies and comic books,
right.
And like, you know, Mexican music and all this other stuff. I was like, you know, when I was a kid, I was like, well, that's kind of cool, I guess. You know, and I would hang out with him and
right.
I would listen to it. And now that I'm older, those are the things that are like super important to
right.
me about my memories with my dad. And it's awesome to watch those same memories developing with my kids. Coming soon got real deep.
That's all right. It is what it is.
Right.
It's why we, I mean, it's, you know, like it, not only is it something we love to share with our kids, it's something we want to, I mean,
share,
that's the reason
everybody.
What we're doing
yeah.
here. You know,
exactly.
it's, there are millions of people like us who love these stupid, nerdy things that we all love.
And if they're anything like us, they love to listen to other people jibber jabber about it. Like, I know I do.
Oh, I can't. I don't even listen to music anymore. I mean, it's literally, I jumped from Kevin Smith reading to his podcast. I listened to Get Old. I listened to Babylon. I listened to Smodcast.
I listen to Babylon every week while I'm putting new comics on the shelf. It's like my ritual every week.
Nice.
Then I listen to Nerdist.
Some of those are really, really long. Like the Joe Rogan one. I love Joe Rogan and I love listening to
it. But it's like
4 hours long. I just can't hold that long. It's too much.
Yeah, I listen to it in parts because we may or may not have mentioned that I have a hard time concentrating on anything for a long time.
Oh, that's awesome.
And you got anything else coming soon that you're pretty stoked about? Or
I put Tusk out there. I mean, the few things that I am really excited about, and it's good to be a nerd at this point, is Constantine.
Yeah, Gotham. Very excited
Flash.
About Constantine.
Arrow's coming back. I mean, there's just nerd shows coming
back. If I have to listen to my daughter talk to me at length about Flash anymore, I'm going to explode. Like, she's caught up on Arrow, and I cannot wait for the next season of Arrow to come out. But she's caught up on Arrow, and those pieces with Flash, like, she is just enamored with that. Like, she loves the idea, she loves the character, she can't wait to see, like, you know, oh my god, she just does not shut up about Flash. It's so awesome. Like, Arrow is great. Like, I wasn't anticipating much from it. Like, I've always liked Green Arrow as a character. Like, it's a cool idea. Like, he's basically modern Robin Hood.
Right.
I did not expect that show to be as good as it is.
I don't think a lot of people did. I mean, I think that was one of the starting resurgence of what you see on TV now.
I think a lot of people were expecting Smallville.
Right.
And I mean,
it has its place.
If you like it, great. I'm not one of those people. Man, I just couldn't take friggin' WB, you know, teen dating show that just happens to be about Superman. I had the same problem with Lois and Clark.
Right.
Like, it was just so, dreamy. Let's hold each other. I'm like, no, thanks. Like, I mean, I almost wonder if part of my disdain at this point for Superman is because of those two shows, now that I say those things out loud, because I liked Superman as a kid, but I mean, ugh.
And I don't know that I haven't seen a ton of Smallville. I just don't know that it tied into what we can remember so much.
Man, I gave it so many chances. I mean, I think I watched the first two seasons because I was like, All right, Lex Luthor's in there now. It's going to turn the corner.
Right.
All right, you know, this ex-villain is in there now. It's going to turn the corner. And it just never did. It just kind of kept going and going and going. I was like, man, it was like Gilmore Girls with Superman.
Gilmore Girls, that's awesome.
I loved Gilmore Girls for what it was. You know, two witty girls talking way too much.
Right.
But I don't need Superman in that equation. Like, I don't know.
I haven't seen too much about Gotham or Constantine yet, but
Constantine looks sick.
They look really good.
It looks really good. Gotham, I'm not so excited about. I think I'm weird about TV shows. Like, I'll give pretty much anything a chance.
Right.
I mean, because if you waste, like, you know, 2 hours of your life watching a TV show, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
I mean, it's not big awesome, deal. But it's not the end of the world. I'll probably give Gotham a good shot because I want it to be good. I want there to be a Batman TV show that's good. You know, I mean, aside from the obvious Batman TV show that's amazing, that's coming out on Blu-ray this Christmas, thank God! That's my coming soon that I'm excited about. Hey, family, guess what our family Christmas gift is? The full run of Batman 66!
And we'll be watching it for the next 2 years!
I know. I mean, I'm pretty excited about Gotham in general. I think it's a good idea. I don't know that they're going to be able to pull it off.
I don't know. There's been a big emphasis on these kinds of movies and TV shows lately. I think it's hard to mess up.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I mean, maybe. We'll see. I think, man, you know what I'm really stoked about a little bit more than Gotham, I would say, is the Netflix shows that Marvel's put out.
Yeah.
The Jessica Jones, the Daredevil, and Luke Cage. And from everything I've read, apparently they're supposed to be fairly, like, dark and gritty because that's the way Daredevil and Luke Cage should be.
Right.
You know, they're the heroes for hire. They're, you know, he's the Daredevil,
like the Punisher,
because he's from Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
You know, he doesn't come from an awesome part of New York. He comes from a terrible part of New York. I think a lot of that, you know, a lot of that grittiness has gone missing in some of the, in, especially in like a lot of the, you know, the big Avengers and Iron Man and stuff like that.
Right.
Not that those were like huge, like dark and brooding comics to start out with, but I think a lot of that gritty edge or the grittier characters have been pushed to the wayside by Marvel for the same reason that like Times Square seems safe now. You know, the era of comics that Daredevil is the best in is the 70s and, you know, early 80s, when the places he was in, Hell's Kitchen,
right,
and like the Bronx and stuff,
were a little bit
were
more dangerous.
A little bit more, I mean, probably significantly more dangerous.
Right.
I don't know. I was not there at the time.
Right,
I was
right
at home. You know, but
I think you're going to get a little gritty with Constantine. I think that's what makes him so attractive to people.
I think
he's not your typical superhero. I don't even know if I'd call him a superhero.
He's not. He's a magician.
Not, yeah. It's just...
Or I guess he's not a magician because he does not perform illusions. He is a wizard. Like, he is a badass.
He's
wizard.
Like Merlin.
Or Modred.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
okay.
That's a good Marvel callback.
It's just, I think that's what drives people to him. I love Justice League Dark because he's,
right,
it's just so different from things that I normally read.
The new Constantine comic. So I love Hellblazer. I've read every issue of Hellblazer.
Right.
The new Constantine comic, when it crossed over with Forever Evil, was a clusterfuck. Like, it was unreadable.
It was weird. It was different.
It was just completely unreadable because I wasn't reading anything else in that. So there's like those...
Just the main run.
I wasn't even reading. I was just reading Constantine.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's, like, those two or three issues where I'm like, what is going on?
What
like,
just happened?
This makes no sense. I don't even understand why, like, the nurse and the Trinity of Sinner, what is going on? Then it got back to normal. And, it's
and I was
fine.
Super nerd and had to get every single one of the tie-ins.
Dude,
as well as the main run.
That's nutty. Like, I don't pull that off very often. I've been picking up Original Sin, and I've been enjoying that, but I don't typically do the whole huge crossover thing.
I have to, man.
You know, I'm one of those,
I feel like I'm missing things if I don't.
I'm one of those guys that has like his specific titles that he really likes and sticks with it.
Right.
And when they cross over, sometimes I'll pick them up. Like, I picked up, there's a Swamp Thing that crossed over with one other issue of Aquaman. And I picked up the issue of Aquaman because I wanted to know that piece of the story.
Right.
But it wasn't necessary for me to buy, like, 15 freaking issues of Aquaman, which, thank God, because they totally would have had me suckered in. Like, I've been like, oh, I guess I'll just keep Aquaman in my pool forever now.
Yeah. I did that with
yeah,
some of those things.
I know,
things.
Exactly. I'm looking at you, Justice League Dark.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. It's just, it's like I said, I feel like I'm missing things. I can't, it goes a little bit back to the Axe Cop where I feel disjointed if I don't know what
if
happened.
You don't know the whole thing.
Exactly.
I mean, that's how I feel about those three issues of Constantine. And there was a moment where I was like, I should probably pick up the books that surround this, but I didn't. I just want to read Constantine. I really wanted to stand alone, and it for a little bit there, it just totally didn't. But, you know, on the same note, the big crossover that Swamp Thing did with Animal Man, I have both full runs because it's just amazing. Like, that storyline's amazing. What else? I mean, what else has been like that for me? I don't know. Lots of stuff. I try to steer away from grabbing all of the things because, A, I don't have enough money. and B, I just, it bogs down my collection. I feel.
It is what it is. I'm buying things at this point that I know I'm going to have to catch up on at some point.
Right.
Saga is one of them. But
oh,
I know it's good. I just haven't had the time to read it. You know, so I make sure to pull, you know, what I am reading and those things that I know are good, and I know you're pulling some of the things that you think I might like.
Right.
And I'll get to them
eventually. Oh yeah. I have a box just full of comics that I haven't read yet. Because there's things that like I may not be super excited about like right this instant,
right,
but I know that I'm going to want to catch up on it. Like, I mean, Constantine is one of those. Like, I know that the storyline is kind of, like, at a place where I'm at, which is, you know, about six issues back.
Right.
Where I'm, like, not super stoked about it, but I know that I'm going to want to catch up on it soon. You know, or Walking Dead is a great example. They announce to you, you know, this plot line is going to be 12 issues. Like, it's part one of 12.
Right.
So I'll just wait till the whole thing is out before I even touch it, because it's just, it's easier to read.
I was stuck in the same, because I had to backtrack on some of those. Walking Dead, I went through and read every trade. Mm-hmm. Up until the single issues were back, until I caught myself on single
right.
issues. And it's just, it's like you said.
Except for,
like,
that one. You were missing that one, which yeah. I thought was hilarious.
I was like, I can't read any of these until I get that one comic
and
book.
It took us forever to get it in. any other awesome coming soons for you?
I think that's it for now. Nice. I mean, I'm sure we'll have some more here soon.
Yeah.
But there's tons of stuff.
Well, yeah. There's always something new that we're excited about.
So Roland, from the What's Coming Soon is a cool little end to the show. John, who will be recording his part of this from his house in his little magical den in his basement.
Apparently surrounded by billions of back issues.
And Gabe, they're going to be talking about separately, you know, some older stuff that they still love and, you know, recommend that you go find if you can.
Right.
Thusly entitled, Two Middle-Aged Men Talking About Old Shit. I mean, it's hopefully, you know, it gets you to love something that, you know, maybe they're not doing anymore or they still are doing and you want to catch up. That's what we'll end this show. First, we'll hear from John.
Hello there, dear listeners. John Garnett here from Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles, coming to you from the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. As I stated earlier, my name is John Garnett. I am a huge nerd, and I have been pretty much my entire life, especially fond of comics, collectibles, pop culture, and really anything that's sci-fi or horror or, you know, just kind of cool and out there. I guess I kind of always have been a nerd my entire life, big science geek, very much into fish tanks, saltwater aquariums, freshwater aquariums, all of that fun stuff. And so I just wanted to share a little with you about how I kind of got into comics, and what I'm going to be doing as part of this awesome podcast, the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. So with me and comic books, it kind of started really as a little kid. Growing up down in Pueblo, Colorado, you know, we would take family vacations over the summer, a lot of local trips within the state of Colorado, and sometimes out to Utah, Wyoming, Arizona, etc. And, you know, as a bunch of rowdy brats in a pickup truck pulling a camper, we would very often stop at little diners and gas stations and things like that along the way. And comic books always seemed to be a very cool outlet for me. It's something that we could go into our favorite little gas station and flip through the spinner rack that was there, trying to find something that caught our eye, that was, you know, something exciting and new and colorful. And you know, personally, my tastes gravitated towards superhero stuff, and they still do. But that was kind of my introduction to comics. You know, reading them in the back of a pickup truck, driving cross country—not really cross country, but at least, you know, across the state—as we were heading to campgrounds and, you know, visiting relatives and all that sort of fun stuff. So it was kind of an awesome, very very awesome childhood memory. And it's definitely something that I'm still very fond of to this day. But believe it or not, you know, when I was approached by my parents to read more comics, I hated the idea. I remember that they thought that I was almost too much of a bookworm and, wanted me to kind of expand my horizons and, you know, live a little in the fantasy world. And so we took a trip to the Mesa in Pueblo to a little shop called the Today Store, where they sold, you know, secondhand books and new comics and back issue comics and all that sort of stuff. And I absolutely didn't want to be a part of it. But I remember picking out, you know, the dad went in the bookstore and said, hey, you know, pick out a couple of comic books, take them home, read them, and see what you think. And I don't know how I decided upon it, but the very first comic book that I purchased, you know, as a kiddo was the comic book adaptation of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which came out, you know, in 1984, I think, 1985. And was really way more intense than what at that time a 3 or 4 year old should be reading. I was probably a little older by the time that we actually, you know, picked up those books. But, it was just funny because I remember absolutely not wanting to be there and not wanting to partake in it. And then before you know it, we had a hold file set up with the shop there at the Today Store, and we were going in on a, you know, every couple of weeks sort of basis to pick up the books that we were collecting. And at the time, you know, that was kind of right before the crazy 90s downward spiral that happened to the comic book industry. We weren't collecting for the right reasons. You know, my brother and I, who both were picking out comics, and my dad to a certain extent as well, you know, we were buying comics that had foil covers and embossed covers and cutout covers, you know, as a speculative retirement option, so to speak, you know, as an investment piece. We weren't reading them. We put them in bags with boards and stored them away in long boxes, hoping to one day, you know, become absolutely filthy rich and retire on these books, which, you know, funny thing today, you know, a lot of those are just about worth what their cover price was back in the late 80s and early 90s. So, you know, most of the stuff that I collected as a kid didn't retain value whatsoever, which was kind of ironic. But, it, you know, it was an absolute blast. You know, we would go out, take a trip out there, visit the grandparents along the way and pick up our stack of books. And, you know, some titles like Hellboy was something that I kept and I still have, you know, all of my original issues, which was awesome. So there were certainly some gems, you know, amidst the rough that was the misery of the collecting in the 90s. But, you know, once I hit high school, we pretty much dropped all of the old files at the comic book shop. So we kind of hit that hard for quite a few years. And then other things caught our attention, sports and all of the fun to do's. Being involved with school and that sort of thing, and getting into trouble and driving cars and, you know, drinking underage and all of those awesome things associated with your teens. And so I kind of dropped off the face of the earth with regards to comics in high school. My passion was kind of reignited, I guess I would say, back in college, where I was working at a local fish store in Greeley, Colorado, and one of my work associates by the name of Brad, who was a huge comic book and pop culture nerd, was super pumped about this whole Green Lantern rebirth, where DC was basically reinstalling Hal Jordan as the Green Lantern in the DC Comics universe. And, you know, he had died as a character. Parallax kind of consumed him. And so he was super pumped about this new title releasing, and he absolutely demanded that we go to the local comic shop that was not in Greeley at the time. It was over in Fort Collins to pick up this book. So I went with him, you know, and we walked into a little comic shop called Haley's Comics in Old Town Fort Collins, which is a super cool shop with very cool owners, and, you know, picked up the series and started to hold file there. And, you know, I picked up a lot of other titles, but, so that kind of reignited the passion for comic books, which has really just kind of blown up since then. And, you know, I have a huge comic collection in the basement now, thanks to my buddy, Brad, most of which is all DC-based, very little Marvel stuff, but I still love Marvel because that's kind of what I grew up on, the X-Men and the Todd McFarlane Spider-Man and Jim Lee doing the X-Men series that was the reboot back in the 90s. So that stuff all has a very fond place in my heart. And kind of brings us up to where we are today, looking at setting up a retail comic book shop somewhere in the South Denver area, hitting eBay pretty hardcore. Before I left Greeley, I was working at a local fish store up there, and one of the gentlemen that was part of the store used to own a comic shop in the 60s and 70s in Greeley, and had all of his back issue inventory of comics stored in the garage of one of his friends who sold his house. And I got a call very, very late one night asking if the gentleman could borrow my truck to basically unload all of the comics that was in his friend's garage and store them somewhere. And so we stored them in the garage of our little apartment there in Greeley. And eventually when we moved down to South Denver, brought them along with me. And so I've been steadily listing books on eBay and selling some stuff there, and got a website going on in progress that should be done very, very shortly. And ultimately looking to open a retail shop like the guys up at the Nerd Store in Greeley and that sort of stuff. So using that stash as our back issue inventory, that's really my focus. And that's going to be kind of my contribution to this podcast. The goal is to go through, the mounds of about 300,000 back issues that I have stored in long boxes in the basement and, pick a couple of books and give you a rundown of the books and what they look like and some of the contributing artists to those stories to hopefully, give you a perspective of where things were at in the past and how they kind of influenced what's happening right now in the present and, looking forward to all the cool stuff that's in the pipeline for the future of comics and pop culture and all things nerd. So that's about it for my first segment. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hopefully it wasn't terribly boring. But John here from Hall of Justice Comics and Collectibles. And thanks for listening. We will talk at you later.
And now we'll hear what Gabe's pick is.
So my pick for this episode is actually a comic that I've only really recently been introduced to, but I have discovered is actually significantly older than I thought it was. I don't read a ton of manga, but I have a very neat little place in my heart for it because there was a point in time where I read a bunch of it. I don't like normal manga. I like a lot of the horror stuff and like a lot of the grody stuff because that's just hilarious to me. Like I like gross things.
Oddball things.
Yeah, there's something wrong with me. But what I really, really love about Japanese culture is like this weird gamifying of cooking. So
Iron Chef kind of thing.
Exactly. So before I worked at the comic book shop, I actually worked as a chef for like 15 years. So it's what I did for a really long time. And I started reading maybe about, I want to say like a year and a half ago, I started reading articles that Dark Horse and some other comic book companies were coming out with like these retreads of manga that have been going on forever. And one of the ones that sparked my interest was this book called Oishinbo. And Oishinbo is about a newspaper that for its 100th anniversary wants to celebrate by making the ultimate Japanese feast. Okay? So this guy, he's like the food critic / reporter for this newspaper, and he's been tasked with going out into Japan and discovering like the latest and greatest and like what's the best about Japanese cuisine, right?
Right.
So his backstory is that his dad runs something called the Gourmet Club, okay? And the Gourmet Club is like the elitist, the best, the ultimate cooking experiences, blah, blah, blah. And they only take in so many cooks a year and you can get fired. Like there's a episode where one of the guys gets fired because when the dude's dad tastes the dish, he tastes the hint of tar from smoking cigarettes. Ugh. And nobody that smokes cigarettes is worthy of being a chef. I mean, it's like, so they're like way up here on like the gourmet scale, right? So his dad and he have parted ways because his dad kicked him out of the house because he thought he was lazy right. and all this other stuff. So that's the villain is his dad. And every time he goes to like a special event or a restaurant, of course his dad is there because right. they're running in the same circles and whatever. But it's like this great book where, you know, his dad says, "You don't know anything about how to cook that." And he goes, "Oh yeah." And then he cooks it, you know, better than anybody could have ever cooked it before. So it maintains that same like anime manga story arc where, you know, underdog is challenged by like evil villain. Beats evil villain every issue.
Episode.
But it beats the evil villain every issue, but the evil villain isn't dead and comes back to haunt him all the time. So I started researching it. You know, the English versions of the manga are called Oishinbo a la carte, okay? And so that implies that it's just like this piecemeal. Like it's,
right.
you know, there's no continuous storyline within the trades that we get in English, and there's only like, I want to say six. There's either six or seven of them. I forget which off the top of my head. So I started doing research on it. This is where the old part comes in. This is a book that's been routinely published since 1983.
Wow.
There are like 102 Japanese volumes of this book. Like it. Nothing has ever made me want to learn Japanese so that I can go back and just read the full run of this book. And I really hope that in some bizarre magical world, the publishers that are putting out like the Oishinbo a la carte hear this and go, "Oh, there's a market for that."
Right.
Because I would read the crap out of that. And I feel like there's enough volumes of it that I personally could fund them because there's so many volumes. Like it's cool to see something that's so like simplistic. Like the plot is super simple.
Right.
The stories are super simple, but what they're doing is they're introducing people to new kinds of food that they probably haven't heard of. Like if you come from this part of Japan, you haven't heard about this part of Japan's food. It's a lot like America. You know, you go to, I was watching a cooking show because I do a lot of that too, where this guy's talking about Carolina gold rice.
Right.
It's a specific kind of rice that you can, you know, you can get everywhere now, but it comes from the South. And it's very different than normal rice. And in the South, everybody knows about it. I've never heard of it because I've never been to North Carolina.
Right.
You know, so it's just that cool take on this. Here's this really interesting cuisine from this place. And this is how you make it perfect. And this is what you do. And it becomes like almost this comic book cookbook.
Like a trainer.
Like a trainer. And it's really, really cool. I mean, for this episode, it's my super old thing that I love. I mean, I recently discovered it. The American prints of it are really new. You know, they came out maybe like a month or so ago.
Okay.
But it's been around forever. And there's so much backstory that I want to try to dig into. Yeah, I mean, just like there's fan subs of like anime, there's fan quote unquote subs of like manga out there where people have like gone through and translated the books.
Right. To make it so it's not so weird and disjointed when you translate it.
Yeah. Like I need to go and start hunting those down because I'm super excited about it. Like what a weird thing to be excited about, but
it's again, it's the culture now. Nerd is it's okay.
It's you a know? Thing. It's, yeah.
It's weird.
I can talk about this and not get beat up.
We might still get beat up, you know.
No, probably not. People think downtown Greeley's dangerous at night, but it's not. So
cool. Well, with that, you would have heard John's piece before yours, and Gabe here finishing off the episode. Like we said, it's from here until we stop doing it. It's going to be disjointed. It's going to be. You know, there may not be as much fluid as people would like, but that's just kind of how we are. It's kind of how we think.
We get excited. We just want to talk about the things we're excited about, and we hope that you're excited about it too.
Hopefully we bring you into what we are, and hopefully we get a little feedback, and maybe we'll talk about some of the things that you guys want to talk about, and you know, go from there.
Yeah, and speaking of feedback, we should definitely remind you guys, go like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thinkingoutsidethelongbox. And then our Twitter is @outsidelongbox. I think.
Yes. Yeah. And, it is.
And if you're old fashioned like me, you could even email us. I love that email's old fashioned now.
I mean, it gives the person giving me feedback the ability to go longer than the 120 characters or whatever crap Twitter is.
You know, exactly. I think it's 140, mm-hmm. but who knows.
But I'm it sure is funny come out with something that email's 90. Old school.
Yeah, it is funny to me that email's old school.
If you want to write us a letter, you can write it to the Nerd Store.
Yeah, that's 807 8th Street, Greeley, Colorado. We're open from 11 to 10 on weekdays.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I love it. I've never been in a comic book store that's open so late, and it's awesome. It's easier for the people who get off work late and such
like
to come
and
do
these. Time.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. It's the best
midnight
I've ever had.
On Saturday and Friday yeah. Right?
But we are closed on Sunday. Sorry.
Which is fine. There needs to be a day of rest for comic books.
so that I can catch up on all the comic books I haven't read.
Right, <man. laughs> right. No, but you know, hopefully we ride this out as long as we can, and it's just for fun. You know, it is what it is, and we'll be trucking forward.
Nice. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Yep, and I'll hit you up with our website once that goes live. It's being worked on as we speak, and hopefully we'll be passing out business cards and things like that.
Sweet.
Cool. Well, thanks, and come join us next time.
See you soon.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast, Baron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is put together by Juan, Gabe, and John. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Baron Space production.